I don't want to be disconnecting and reconnecting because it'll we use up all our time.
Yeah, okay.
So, speaking of which, let's connect that. Mm-hmm. Where's the cable? There, here it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
There you go.
You have it?
Is it solar?
Okay.
No.
Oh.
Okay. So, how should we handle the mics here? Because we've got, actually, effectively three people.
I'm not sure about the mic for the RC, but I'd like to pick on fairly well as long as it's not too far away.
Okay.
And then scroll down.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to clamp these together. And then we can just hold them. Yeah? Okay. So you're going to have to hold the mic because we need to trade back and forth.
Hold the mic, huh?
Yeah, so you'll have to hold the mic.
Thank you.
Okay. You got it? Okay. And then do we have this one?
All right.
Oh. Hey. Okay. So welcome, everybody. We're starting a little bit late, but we're going to get started now. Hey, like the project of Upgrade in Place itself, we're starting a little bit late. So this session... Right. So of the issues that people have with PostgreSQL, one of the most problematic for the largest number of our users is our inability to upgrade a database without doing dump and reload or slow knee replication or something else similarly labor and resource intensive or downtime intensive. Actually, I for our developer meeting, I discussed some of the largest obstacles we have currently due to adoption. And I actually put the upgrade in place issue at number two because I know quite a few businesses that won't use Postgres for this reason. So it's a major priority for the project to actually get this addressed. I'm sure most of the people in this room have already had some kind of upgrade pain. Now, how many people here have not ever had a problem with upgrading Postgres? Yeah. How many people, of those people, how many of them have not ever upgraded Postgres? Yeah. That's what I thought. So both Bruce Momjan and some other people from the Enterprise DB team and Zdena Katala from Sun Microsystems have been working on the issue of upgrade in place. And so they're going to present their work. Zdena is going to present some of his plan for upgrade, and then Bruce is going to present what's been going on with PG Migrator, and then we will hopefully have a long question and answer / discussion period for what our plan is going to be going forward. So go ahead, Zdenek. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Josh. Okay, there is the agenda. We will share this presentation with Bruce together. And there is the basic, in-place upgrade has a two major area. One is the catalog upgrade and storage upgrade. I will focus on both of them, and Bruce will present it, the PG Migrator tool, which is about catalog upgrade. Overview, what is the goal of the upgrade, in-place upgrade? Most important, it's a minimal downtime, no extra space. Packages loves to don't want to install any extra compact packages to provide the upgradability. But it's not so big issue. Of course, easy to use. Nobody wants to read the 10 pages of how to configure your system for a PG SQL upgrade. What did you yesterday? PG dump and PG restore. It's the main problem of this is a long downtime. Depends on database size and disk size. Usually you need to migrate to another server and so on. Another possible solution is Slonny or another replication mechanism that you replicate your database from old server to the new one. Of course, you need also the more space. You need extra... Question?
You put that one point there. Uh-huh. It take forever.
Yeah, okay. Today you have solutions. It's a PG migrator, or PG upgrade script, which is, works similarly, and it works from 8.1 to 8.2. But I think it's momentarily risky because we don't handle the for 8.1 and 8.2. There is the problem with dropped columns and so on. It's mostly fixed in current version of PG upgrader, PG migrator. And now you can use it for 8.3. It's still alpha. 8.3 to 8.4, or you will use it for 8.3 for 8.0. But the most problem of these two tools is that there is no support in the Postgres itself. It's for now it's fixed. For example, PGDOM have some hacks to dump some information which you need to transfer from old version to the new one. Tomorrow, who knows? We had a discussion yesterday on developers meetings, and there are a lot of open questions and a lot of unresolved problems still. Okay, catalog upgrade. What catalog means? Catalog is not only the catalog tables, it's also the control file, flat files on the disk, directory structure itself, system tables, and configuration files, and maybe more. If you look on the history in CVS, you can see that we do 50 change during the catalogs change during the one version development. It's average of changes. Each this change you need to know what's different, how to handle the upgrade of this change, and so on. Current solution, PG migrator. And PG upgrade script, Bruce will show you how it works in detail. It has several problems. Some are already fixed because it PG dumpers already contains some hooks and support for this stuff. But one problem is still that PG migrator tries to move link the data from one area to another area, which is if you don't use table spaces, it's okay. But if you have table spaces, you can have a problem. And biggest problem is toast tables, because you need to keep the origin name of toast. Dropped columns, it's solved already, and some catalog data are during the transition you can lose some catalog data because you use some DDL commands for creating new database or transfer this database schema, and currently we probably transfer all of them, like vacuum information and so on. I think it's not heavily tested yet. It's the biggest problem of upgrade, because you can hit some problem after half of year, for example, because you did not touch some data on the disk. PG migrator. Bruce? Finish. Okay. Bruce will present PG migrator. I have a different approach to PG migrator to upgrade the database. It's completely different, but some part of similar. The main point of this PG upgrade binary is to keep all data on the same place, don't need old version of Postgres SQL, and to be easy. I can show you the demo now. Just okay. Okay, you can see that there is the store database. Server is 8.3.7 and beta 2. PS call from beta 2. There is the standard. It's demo database from PG Foundry. Okay, and you can see that there are some data inside. Now I shut down the server and run the PG upgrades binary. Okay, and it's done. It's upgraded. Okay, it's a just prototype. It transfer only databases and tables, not the functions and triggers, for example. But I can now run. You can see that there is the problem with corrupted file because the format is different. I did not remove it before during the upgrade yet, but it's PostgreSQL is happy to remove it itself and create a new one. Okay, you can see that PostgreSQL doesn't complain about the version. There is the tables again. You can see that there is the structure database, and of course you can run. Okay, and there is a there you have your data here. Just how I think that it should work. It's easy. Don't need any extra binaries to transform the data transition and so on. And everything is really stay on the same place. Okay, how does it work? I skip the skip these two slides and show you some pictures. There is the on the left side there is the original structure, all database, and on the right side there are information how it looks, how it's converted. First step, you need to preserve two information for global catalogs. I created upgrade a new special table space, which is called upgrade or PG upgrade, and move these important data into this table space under database ID 1, which is template 1. This is first step, and also I remove all template 1 clean up template 1 database completely. After that, PG control is converted to the new format of Postgres 8.4. Of course, there are all checks if alignment, date format, and so on are correct. after that, Bootstrap process create the new global catalog and create new template one database. It's step three.
One question there.
Uh-huh.
What will happen if somebody has customized template one?
It's a problem. The same problem as a PG Migrator. Yeah.
No.
PG Migrator template one must be same.
No, it's not a problem.
It's not a problem for PG Migrator. Because usually you have a template zero as a modi-
template zero is the one that stays sane all the time, that is actually configured so that you cannot even.
I think it's template one.
Template zero is the one that stays the same. Used by default for create database.
Okay. Oh, sorry. The ID zero one. It's I think it's the which is created by Bootstrap mode. Okay, but Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a good point that, but it's not problem to convert the correct database and put it on the correct place.
It's not like you can't adopt everyone in template
one. Yeah. It's usually not very good. And when the basic infrastructure is prepared, then PG upgrade start to migrate the data from old from upgrade tablespace and old catalogs to the new catalogs. First, we move the global data for databases and tablespace. After that, for each database, he create the directory in upgrade tablespace and move the related catalog data into these. Into this table space, and again copied the wall, copied the information from database catalog into the related databases. Yeah, that's step five for each database that are synced. Okay. Should work. Storage upgrade. This stuff was related to catalog upgrade and no storage upgrade. There is the storage dependency graph. You can see there that you have a heap table, indexes, toast table, and each toast table have own toast index. You have a xlog here and commit log. Between all these relations or write-ahead logs or commit log, there are a lot of references, and you cannot break it when you want to upgrade the database. This graph doesn't show the forks, which is new in 8.4 version. Each relation at this moment have a free space map, and that space map on the disk, which is a separate file which contains additional information about relations. The problem of storage upgrade is that storage has a lot of part, and it's difficult to make a decision how or when where to make a conversion, because you need to do that online. Nobody wants to wait 1 month to transfer to upgrade petabyte database, and it's important to do that quickly. There is this storage schema how PostgreSQL works. At the top, you can see the executor which asks access methods for two tuples, and there is index access method and heap. And these both access methods contact the buffer manager, which reads the buffer from the disk. There are at this moment there are three possible solutions or solution which we discussed already. Convert on read. Convert on read is simple solution which has a lot of problems, like most other solutions. The idea here is that read buffer. It's only the function we need to modify a little bit, and the idea is that the buffer is read, and if the version is different, the page is converted to the new format. There is Toast which needs to be improved for this method. Because problem of this method is that after conversion you could not fit on the page because the data, for example, could be bigger, and you need to solve this problem. And there are problems with those tables itself because. You don't have if you read toast information on toast chunk, you cannot convert it because you don't need nothing about the other chunk which stays on the same page, because you don't need what data type is, how it looks like, and so on. It means that you need to read it. Read the toast page and convert your toast. Toast chunk into the new page. The converter in this situation is very complex to handle all these things. But the big advantage is that it's a separate module, and you don't need it in the new deployment. Yeah, the big disadvantage of this is that when you touch the first time the data, it has an unpredictable response time. Because, for example, if you want to, you need to convert first the battery or part of battery if you want to retrieve some data, find where is data when. Your tuple is in the heap storage. Convert the heap storage. If the page in heap storage contains the toasted data, you need to look onto the toast table. It means convert indexes page on toast table. Read the data from toast table. Convert. You cannot convert the page on the toast, but you need to read the toast chunks, put it together, the toast again, and put it back into the new page. It's a very long time. Okay. There is a second variant, read old and write new. You can see that converter is smaller. You need to also improve the toast because toast is not upgradable or much, and main point is that the main modification in buffer page API, it means that if you access some data on the page, there is some check which version this page is, and it call correct functions, or there is some switch and take correct data. Of course, the same is for each heap tuple structures, which also can work with several versions of heap tuples. And main point is that data are read in the same version as old version, and finally it's converted to an executor. And when somebody writes the new data, it's writes in the new format. Disadvantage of this approach is that it's requires huge code refactoring. The patch has about 300 kilos for to improve. It's mostly cleanup because you need to clean up to call the correct API on all places when heap tuple is touched, so on. And another disadvantage is that there is some performance, general performance drop, also on fresh tables, fresh databases. And this is the last one. We discussed it yesterday. It's the first time we discuss it. And it's more popular at this moment. The idea is that the something like pluggable storage. For example, currently we changed the hash index implementation and gin index implementation in 8.4. But if you deliver the access method with which will understand the old hash index methods, you will able to upgrade with PG migrator and use the old hash index without any re-indexation. This partially PostgreSQL has support for multi access method. You can see the PG underscore AM catalog, which contains several functions and interfaces for indexes. And the idea is that finally the conversion will be done on the path to the executor, because the access method, old access method, will return some old data format or something like that, and it will be converted, and an executor gets the new nice formatted data. And latest version of access method will be served data without any conversion, for example. Okay. There is the two issues with PG migrator. One is that everybody will use it when it will be developed sometime, and nobody will want to go back to the PG dump, yeah? Because when your database usually grows, and PG dump is really slow. Okay, we have now PG restore and parallel. And second issue is that it's never be finished. For each version, you need to develop new version of not develop itself, but adjust version of PG migrator or converter, and improve the conversion functions for tuples and so on. There are some open questions still. What methods is best? Some we answered yesterday, but some still are open. For example, we will implement the changes because many developers doesn't take care much about upgradability and so on. Very important is how to test it. It requires to new test framework to cover all situation, all data types, for example, all indexes, and so on. Okay, there is some reference, and Bruce.
Okay, well, thank you.
Bring the migrator out.
Yep. Thank you. How long do I have, buddy?
See, you can do it in 15 minutes, so we still have some time to check, some time for discussion.
Okay. Here we go. You want it in 15 minutes, okay?
Yep.
Oh, great. Well, I was going to do a demo. I'm probably not going to get a chance to do that, although the demo is only 4 minutes, so maybe I can do it. Basically, you heard a bunch of things about PG Migrator, some of the challenges that are involved in doing an in-place migration. We're kind of lucky with the 8384 change because there's really very few on-disk changes. I'll get into those a little later. But basically, PG Migrator, I've been working on it for about a month. The code was originally written by Enterprise DB about 2 years ago. I happen to work for them. And it was basically decided that upgradability is sort of a big problem. We've been waiting for other people to solve it. I kind of got tired of waiting and said, all right, I'm going to have to do it. The PG upgrade script that Zedek was actually talking about was a script I wrote, I think, in 1998. It's still around, so it's kind of interesting to see the work still going on. This is basically a C implementation of that same method. So right now, with the goal of PG Migrator, very fast upgrades and optionally no additional disk space. That's basically the criteria. If we look at the current options for upgradability, we have dump and restore. Everyone's familiar with that. And secondly, Sloney, which I know some people are using for the upgrades. How does PG Migrator work? Well, I have about 9 slides that basically describe how it works in stages. And I might actually have time for that demo. As you can see on the right, we have the old cluster, a number of user tables here. We've also installed a new cluster with no user tables at all. So this is a freshly in the DB database we've done. This would be 8.4. This is your current user database at 8.3. I've highlighted PG class here. PG class is obviously the system table that actually references these flat files. If you've ever been into the actual database directory and looked, actually they're numbered files in your directory, and those represent your tables, your heaps, and your indexes. So this is how it starts up. Basically, we start up with a fresh new database. First thing we do is to freeze that fresh new database. What freezing does is to remove any references to the xlog clog table, so that all of the transaction IDs are basically set to either committed or aborted. I think the hardwired numbers are 1 and 2 in the code. So by freezing the new cluster, we're basically eliminating any need to reference the clog, and you're going to see why that's important in a minute. Once we've actually done that, we can actually transfer over the clog from the old cluster to the new cluster. Again, we're going to copy this. It's a fairly small set of files. But what it's going to do is it's going to give our new cluster the same commit abort visibility that the old cluster had. Now, you might think, well, how does that actually work? But once you start to get a little farther down the road and I start to show you the user tables, it's going to start to make sense. But keep in mind, these don't reference the clog anymore because we froze them. So we're kind of doing, the best explanation I can give you is we're doing brain surgery on this particular patient to move them up and keep the patient healthy at the same time. So we're basically copying the clogs over. The second step is we're going to do a PG dump all dash dash schema to dump just the schema out of the new database. This is going to give us basically a portable way of representing of translating those 50 system catalog changes that we typically have in a major release and allowing us to migrate those to the new database. So again, we're kind of splitting the brain. We're taking the schema. We're going to dump that out as an ASCII and then load it back in to, oops, I'm sorry. We're going to be eventually loading it back into the new database. And then the second thing, we're going to look at the data file. So right now, we're just going to take the user-defined schemas, that's create table, create function, all that sort of trigger names and stuff, and they're going to be basically copied out to a schema dump. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to reserve some toast IDs in the new cluster. A lot of people don't know this, but the way we pass toast values around in the back end, we actually assume that the OIDs are constant. So in this case, in the old cluster, OID 18 and 26 are actually my toast IDs. So I'm going to reserve those in the new cluster. I'll show you why in a minute. Third thing, the fifth or sixth thing we do is we take the dump all schema load that we did, and we load it into the new cluster. That's basically going to create tables and indexes to match what was in your old cluster. They're all going to be empty. They're all going to be empty because we were just creating the markers. Keep in mind that 18 and 26 have been reserved. Remember, we put those files in back here. So we put 1826 here. So those are actually going to be reserved. They're not going to be used by any of the schemas that we create, schema objects that we create. Our next step is going to be to take the toast tables that are referenced by PG class. They were created during this PG dump all phase. And we're going to repoint them at those reserved toast IDs that we set up. So we have those toast IDs we set up, and we're basically, it used to be pointing here, and we're going to basically swing that pointer over. It used to be pointing here. We're going to delete that file. We're going to swing it up so that 18 that was the specific toast table in the old is going to be 18 exactly the same one in the new. Again, that's an implementation detail, the way we do toast. We've done it this way for like 7 years or when it was implemented. So all that's going to stay the same for every major release. We're going to be doing this. These arrows obviously are pointing, you know, to everything. So I'm just showing you examples there. Next thing we do is we basically either copy or link over the heaps. Notice that 21 now becomes 40, 16 becomes 43. One interesting issue is the 18 is still 18 here, because that's one of the toast numbers. We make sure that that number stays the same. Keep in mind, if we copy, we're actually copying the data files over, so it can take a while. It's much quicker than dump reload, but you're still copying a lot of data between the two servers. If you use the link command, it's going to do basically a hardwired link, or in Windows, it's a junction. Okay. In the link case, you're actually not copying anything. You're just creating a new link to the same file. Again, much, much faster. I do have not checked. I know it runs on Windows, but I don't know if he's checked the link. But I think we call the link code in the port library. So I'm hoping it will work. Or if it doesn't, we need to make sure we call that portability, because we are using libport, libpgport. So if it doesn't work, it certainly will. At this point, we're done. I know it seems like I sort of like juggled a couple balls in the air. But basically, what we've got now is a new cluster. The toast numbers are the same. We've either copied or symlinked the files over. The schema, the system tables are roughly the same, except that because we took the dump and dumped it up and then dumped it down again, we now have the data in the 8.4 format system tables instead of the data in the 8.3 format system tables. Again, allowing us to do the upgrade without having to track every single system table change that was possibly being made. How does it work in detail? Again, I'm just reiterating what I did in words. We check the cluster for compatibility. This is something for an 8.3 and 8.4 migration. You probably want to turn off integer date times, because that default was changed between 8.3 and 8.4. PG Migrator is going to check for that. It's going to warn you if your two clusters are not compatible. We're going to use PG dump all to dump the old cluster schema. Again, I showed you that. We're going to freeze the rows in the C log so we can copy the C log over. We're going to rename the table space to underscore old. So again, the new table space is going to have the same name as in the old cluster. New cluster has uses the old XID counter, so the XID counter is going to be the same. We set the actual frozen rel IDs for the various tables to be something similar. I think I'm 10 minutes into the talk here. We collect the cluster information. We install the support functions. Postgres actually has the ability, PG Migrator actually has the ability to call internal Postgres routines, because we have a shared library we load into the new backend. So it can surgically say, I want this backend routine call to do some particular operation. Again, makes it kind of cool and gives us a lot more flexibility. We create the placeholders for the toast tables. We load the scheme in. Again, the toast tables have reserved those spots for us. We adjust the new cluster. We delete the old placeholders. We put the new toast tables in. We re-hook up the new toast tables to the cluster. set that, then we copy the link files over again, and we warn about any possible problems that we might have. Yeah. Here's an actual sample. This is a sample static run. I have time to do an actual live demo in a minute. Basically, it performs consistency checks, runs through all the things that it could possibly want to check, gives you an okay, hopefully. You basically get to this point. You can do a check run just to check if you don't want to run it. So by the time you get here, it's going to basically then start the migration. It's going to then run through the same steps we just talked about, boom, boom, boom. It's going to say upgrade complete, and it's going to recommend that you run Analyze Statistics because we do not migrate over the statistics that the optimizer uses. What does this all mean in practice? Well, let's look at the future. Possible changes that it would affect it, not for 8.4, but 8.5.8.6, would be C-log changes, heap page format, page header changes, tuple header changes, data format changes, index pages. Zdek's idea, some of his stuff for index pages is going to be helpful. Data format change, I just found out that TS vector changed between 8.3 and 8.4. So the solution there is to create sort of a fake TS vector type that's going to exist in the new database. I'll have to work on that when I get back to Philly next week. These other things, it's hard to know how we're going to fix that, whether we're going to use Zdek method or somehow have some kind of internal back-end code which can read like the old format and convert it. I'm not sure. What does this all mean in practice? We have an actual testing run. Again, it always runs on Windows, already runs on Windows. We've had some people on IRC testing it. Typical database, 150 gigs in size, 850 tables, dump restore, 300 minutes, roughly 5 hours. Dump with parallel restore, clock that down pretty well, 3 hours. PG Migrator, we're using copy mode, so we're copying the files over, 44 minutes. PG Migrator link mode, 44 seconds. That's the kind of chart that is going to get anybody's attention who has to worry about migration. Again, Postgres PG Migrator is in Alpha 13 right now. let me run through the demo real fast, because I do have time.
Can you grow your text size at all?
I can. Hold on. Okay, font change, and where am I now?
13.
How can you tell I'm at 13? Oh, got it. Is that good? Okay. Okay, we're going to populate the database. We're going to shut down both servers. We're going to initDB the first. We're going to initDB the old cluster in this case. I'm sorry, it's cut off though. I'm not sure why that is. Anyway, we're going to initDB now the new cluster. Okay, here's the new initDB. So we've initDB the old cluster at 8.3. initDB the new cluster. We're now loading the regression database into the system. It's because I just fresh it out. I'm loading.
Starting from scratch with the old database.
Yeah, I'm loading all this stuff into the old database right now. So all this stuff's getting loaded into 8.3. Yeah, I think I have a problem. Yeah, let's try that. There we go. I'm sorry. Thank you for that. Okay, so now the old database actually has the regression data in it. I can then actually build it. I'm going to compile it. I'm going to run now through the same kind of output you've seen before. I've now crossed the Rubicon here. I'm now going to do the migration itself. Yeah, exactly.
It seems to be taking longer than 0.7 or 4.
That was
44 seconds. The whole demo takes 3 minutes and 20 seconds, roughly. Most of that's loading the regression database in. No, that was from Mastermind on IRC. Yeah, no, I'm doing this in Philadelphia. This is happening in Philadelphia. Now, what it's also going to do, it's going to warn you here that you've got, and again, I'm testing here, but it's actually going to warn you that you've got some hash and gin indexes, and it's going to create a re-index command for you, because right now, those are incompatible. Also, there's a particular type of character index that we have to re-index as well. So it's trying to give you some ideas. Here's some things you're going to need to do post-migrator to kind of clean it up. Okay, that's all I had to say. Thank you very much. Questions, I think we're going to do for the whole group, right?
Yeah. So thank you very much, Bruce.
Great.
And let's get back over here. And then we will take questions and hacker discussion. So just hang out here and pass the mic back and forth.
And we've got two mics?
And
wow.
Joe Conway was the fastest with his hand up.
Okay, we almost got to do this here. Okay, I got it. Right.
And if for the sake of our studio audience, you repeat the question after it's
That's happened. A good idea. Yeah, I always forget.
So go ahead, Joe.
Bruce, you said that the date time changing from change to the integer format by default, will this not convert those if that's the case?
Okay, so the question was date when the fact that the default integer date storage, date time storage changed. You might have seen one of the little OK boxes, but one of the OK boxes is the checks PG control data, and it will look to make sure that your old and new cluster have the same storage formats. It will actually not convert it over. It will throw an error right away and say...
So the default's changing. Isn't that a big problem with distributions?
Well, that means the distribution will, in fact, not change the default.
So they'll effectively undo the change that we've done before?
Yes. Well, both of us who didn't
Let's wait for him.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way we could really handle it...
Yes,
that could be handled the same way with TS Vector. You would create another date time type that...
The problem is you would need a complete other copy of all the date time types.
Well, is it the same...
Not really.